With Montana News, I'm Olga Kramer. A man who registered as a Green Party candidate for Montana's U.S. Senate race was on the state Republican Party's payroll and heads a newly formed anti-tax group, according to a review of election documents. Timothy Adams filed as a challenger yesterday against Democratic Senator John Tester, in a race where a Green Party candidate could siphon votes from the Democrat. Adams was one of six people to file as a Green Party candidate for the races on the ballot this fall. A total of seven people are looking to unseat Tester, including four Republicans vying for their party's nomination. The Green Party qualified as a political party in Montana yesterday, which was also the state's deadline for candidates to file for office. Green Party officials blasted an email that morning to solicit candidates who could register by the day's end. The head of Montana's Division of Child and Family Services has resigned after 16 months on the job, as the state has a record number of kids in foster care and the agency is dealing with internal budget cuts and a loss of funding for outside groups that offer support services. Marita Johnson held the position since November 2016. Officials did not give a reason for her departure on Friday. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has bristled under questioning by Democrats about his spending on travel as the Trump administration seeks deep cuts to conservation programs and fee increases at national parks. Zinke testified today about the White House's proposed 2018 budget before a Senate committee. The former Navy SEAL flashed with anger when Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington pressed him on whether he could justify hiking park entry fees after spending taxpayer money on private jet flights. A group of Democratic state lawmakers say budget cuts to the state health department have created a public health emergency. Today, they delivered a letter to legislative leaders and the governor asking for emergency funding. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Five representatives and two senators signed on to the letter addressed to the Montana Legislative Finance Committee. The letter CC'd Governor Steve Bullock and leadership in both parties of the legislature. Senator Mary Cafaro and Representative Mary Ann Dunwell, both from Helena, delivered the letter to the Finance Committee along with Missoula Senator Diane Sands.
These cuts are devastating, and I do think it's a public health crisis. And I think it's our obligation as the legislature to figure out a way to fill this hole.
State lawmakers pulled about $49 million in state funding from Montana's Department of Public Health and Human Services in order to help balance the state budget. Along with specific cuts and job cuts within the department, payment rates to all Medicaid providers in the state were cut by about 3%. The letter asked the committee to look at the possibility of a supplemental appropriation to, quote, meet the desperate needs of the Montanans we serve, unquote. A supplemental appropriation allows the state to take money from future budgeting years in order to pay for a current emergency. But Republican Nancy Balance, the chair of the Legislative Finance Committee, says the LFC doesn't have the authority to create the emergency funding asked for in the letter.
That doesn't preclude us as individuals or as a committee from exploring every opportunity that's available or writing a letter to the governor if we so decide that's what we want to do. But I don't want the public to believe that we have authority to do things and are choosing not to.
Democrats who signed on to the letter say while their message was directed at the legislative committee, it will take both the legislature and the governor's office to approve emergency funding.
We couldn't do it under the law.
That's Dan Villa, the governor's budget director, speaking with reporters at the end of February. In an emailed statement Tuesday, the governor's office said the request for emergency funding via a supplemental appropriation is, quote, outside the scope of the executive's authority, unquote. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Mineral County is sending the federal government a $445,000 tax bill to help pay for schools and other services. 82% of the county is made up of U.S. Forest Service land. County officials wrote to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue saying the government has failed its obligation to the county where it manages 1,000 square miles of land. Less than 8% of Mineral County's land is in private, taxable ownership, the Missoulian reported yesterday. The federal government has previously paid the county with logging proceeds, payments in lieu of taxes, and the Secure Rural Schools Act, which paid the county more than $1 million. The last 2 years, the federal government has gone back to payments based on logging proceeds, but officials say that provided only $66,000 due to minimal timber sales. The architects designing the rebuild of Glacier National Park's Sperry Chalet Dormitory will be in Columbia Falls tonight to talk about the burned building's history and what they have in mind for its future. Nikki Ouellette has more.
Anderson Hallis Architects of Golden, Colorado was tapped by Glacier National Park to lead the conceptual design effort for the so-called Sperry Chalet, the Next 100 Years project. Hesperi Chalet Dormitory burned to its stone foundations last August in the Sprague Fire. Glacier National Park recently unveiled four ideas to restore the National Historic Landmark, including rebuilding the dormitory as it was, rebuilding with some modern upgrades, building an entirely new dormitory, or replacing the dormitory with seasonal tents. The park is accepting scoping comments on the proposed project now through April 2nd. Tonight's open house with the architects is at the Cedar Creek Lodge Grand Ballroom in Columbia Falls from 6:30 to 8:30. It will be broadcast on Facebook Live. More information is on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Beau Baker. Grizzly bears are beginning to emerge from hibernation and early risers are being spotted in the region. Jamie Jonkel is a bear biologist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
We beat Yellowstone Park out this year.
Jonkel said he spoke with a bear manager in the Flathead recently.
About a week and a half ago, he had a report and a picture of a good grizzly track somewhere in the Mission Mountains, still up pretty high, just nice fresh set of tracks in deep snow.
Yellowstone Park said today that staff spotted grizzlies last week in the east and west central areas of the park. Male grizzlies typically emerge from hibernation in mid to late March. Females with cubs come out from April to early May. When they emerge, bears are hungry and often feed on carcasses left from the winter. They may react aggressively while feeding. FWP's Jonkel says people don't need to be too concerned until mid-April. Yellowstone officials suggest visitors prepare for a bear encounter and follow good hiking and food storage practices. They recommend visitors use bear spray to deter bears defending cubs and food sources. I'm Beau Baker.